In our scripture passages today, the Lord invites us to receive from Him what we need. How often have we experienced a desire to be satisfied in our lives, only to find we can't quite seek that satisfaction or can't quite fill it? It's never quite full for us. The Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah today. He says, "Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy?" Where do we seek satisfaction? What are the things that seem to promise us satisfaction but always leave us feeling empty? This week, the church celebrated the memorial of St. Ignatius of Loyola, just yesterday, and one of his great insights was that what something we call the discernment of spirits. I don't know if you've heard of that before. The gist of it is this. When you do something that you enjoy, some activity, it could be simply daydreaming, it could be even thinking of something from the past or from the future that you hope will happen or that you wish would happen. It can be something like that. When we think of these things, when it's done, what is the after effect? How do we feel afterwards? Do we feel tired, ornery? Do we feel dissipated? Or do we feel refreshed and renewed? If we feel refreshed and recharged, it's probably a good way for us to renew ourselves. If we feel agitated, listless, or worn out, it's probably a sign that this actually isn't really a good activity for us, in our leisure time especially, to get recharged. In the midst of engaging in this activity, we might enjoy it immensely at the time, but again, what is the after effect? What's the feeling afterwards? For me, I discovered watching TV kind of works in this way. I like it. It's nice. Very interesting shows these days. Lots of things you can find. Sports, whatever you want, right? A movie even. But usually afterwards, I don't feel refreshed. I don't feel refreshed. I either want to keep watching again and again and longer into the night. Not a good thing, right? Or afterwards, you just kind of feel blah, like, ugh, all the energy is sucked out of me. I just need to go to bed. So for me, that's not usually a good use of my time. It's not usually a thing that I look to be recharged and renewed. Even though in the moment it's like, yeah, I love this. This is great. I spent all day doing this thing that had no good consequences in my life. No, it's not a good thing sometimes. So for me, I understood that about myself. Everybody's a little different. We all have different things that work or don't work for us. This is a simple spiritual principle that we can apply all the time in our lives. But we don't often take the time to discern for ourselves what's good, what works, what doesn't. Even just that on the natural level, there can be some activities which we might find personally aren't healthy for us. Even though in principle the activities themselves are morally neutral, meaning they're not really good or bad, they're just a thing. Maybe that's something we can consider. Whether it's watching the news, reading the news, following sports, surfing the web, using social media, shopping, who knows, there's lots of things, right, that we spend our time doing. If we engage in these activities, what's the fruit? Have we made that next step to consider what is the fruit of these things? Is it good for me? Does it help me? I mean, some of these things we have to do, right? We have to shop for food, we have to do things, but what is the fruit? We might be surprised if we applied Ignatius' discernment of spirits. We might be surprised when we find that even though we might enjoy some things, they're not that good for us. They don't really feed us. They don't really nourish us. In reality, we might find that they really don't refresh us at all. They instead soak up our precious time, our mental resources, or make us angry or irritable. So that might be just something to consider. Maybe you already figured that out, but for me, that's just very helpful at some point in my life. Today, when the Lord tells us, "All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Come without pain and without cost, drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy?" He's inviting us to apply this principle in our lives. The imagery might not fit us so well in our modern times. After all, most of us have enough food, enough to drink pretty easily. It's not that hard to come by for most of us. However, think about it as if the Lord is telling us to stop looking for satisfaction and happiness in places where we often fail to find it. There are so many possibilities, so many ways we are told to be satisfied, right? In this life, so many things we're told we need to do these things. We have restless hearts. We have restless hearts. We have a constant hunger to be distracted, don't we? We're always looking to be filled. We want to be entertained. We want to be preoccupied. We don't want to deny ourselves any whim that comes our way. We have to be attentive to that. Where is the Lord wanting to speak to us? How is He wanting to speak to us? Notice how Jesus Himself is looking for consolation in this moment. His cousin, John the Baptist, has just died, and he's looking for just a moment to go off and be renewed. He goes to the Father in prayer to the deserted place. He models for us what we ought to do. So often, when we're down or sad, don't we turn to distractions and we look for something? I want to be filled. I want to ignore this feeling I have. I want to fill myself with something else. We fill that emptiness with a quick fix. It's like when you go home, maybe you don't have this experience, when you go home late and you haven't eaten yet today, you're like, what's in the cupboard? Doritos or whatever, Tootsie Rolls. And you just gobble them up, right? This is not a good thing, but in this moment I'm really hungry and I don't want to take time to make something that's good for me. And it's sort of that same way in our spiritual life. We can just try to fill ourselves rather than really going to the Father, going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sad, I'm worn down, I'm whatever we're experiencing. How often is that our response in those times when we need to be renewed? We're a reminder of the fact that Jesus ministers to our needs. Are we sick? Jesus can heal us. Are we hungry? Jesus can feed us. Are we uncertain or fearful? We can find strength in the Lord. In these uncertain times, we can either try to provide for ourselves or we can throw ourselves into the arms of the Lord. We can try to be self-sufficient and self-sustaining, independent, or we can rely on the Lord's goodness and providence for us. Looking at where we are as a society and how we are dealing with just this pandemic or things in general, election year, one thing that stands out to me, at least, is that as a whole, as a society, we don't really trust God very much. We don't trust that He cares for us. We don't believe that God has any power to save us. We don't believe in His power to heal us. We're living in a non-Christian culture. And that's fine. We don't have to sweat that. We don't have to be upset by that. It's just reality, right? That things have changed. Society has moved on from Christianity in some sense. And so we have to be aware of that. That means that as Christians, we might have a different response than the world around us. We just ought to be clear in our minds that we aren't in a country that always operates with Judeo-Christian values. We need to be aware of that so that when we encounter different things, we can distinguish our response. Is my response a Christian one? Is it one that has faith in God or not? And this is probably a change in mindset for some of us. I feel like even for myself, growing up, there was a lot of Christian values in pretty much all aspects of our world. Maybe it was my naivete, but it seemed that way, at least when I was growing up. But things have changed. Policymakers aren't looking for supernatural aid on this or any other crisis. If we pretend that everything coming from our government or our leaders is rooted in a Christian worldview, I think we're mistaken. And we need to let go of that paradigm. It might take us a while to recognize that our response should be different from the response which non-Christians have. Our lives should look different because we trust in God. Non-Christians will respond as they do because their worldview is different. We don't blame them for this. It's not bad. It's just that's where they're coming from. That's how they see things. And we need to understand that it's okay for us to respond differently at times. And that at times we must respond differently. Christ is the one who helps us. He's the one that we look to for salvation. He's the one that cares about us. Do we live in that paradigm? Or have we switched to a more secular mindset? We must have that daily lived relationship with our Lord. If we're going to live in this dependence upon God, trusting that He's going to feed us, take care of us, etc., we need to have daily prayer. If we don't set aside some time each day for intentional prayer with Him, we can't say that we have a good relationship with Him. Prayer, reading the Scriptures, the Mass, these are kind of the foundational things that we live out as Catholics. Now, if we find that we're lacking in these areas, that's okay. That's all right. It's an opportunity to grow. The Lord is telling us to come to Him, to trust in Him, to bring our struggles and our needs to Him. We may feel like we're being asked to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we might be sitting there going, "What gives, Lord? I don't see how this is going to happen, how this is going to work." Coming to the Lord is the only way we're going to be able to do this. And right now, I think, is an opportunity for us to receive from God what we need, and in confidence, share this with the unbelieving world around us. This is a great gift that we as Christians can share with our culture. The world needs our witness of faith. Listen once more to God's words to us. "All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without pain and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy?"